When Princess Edelyn Shreve's mother suffers a heart attack and her twin brother Arryn elopes in the same day, her carefully ordered world crumbles. The palace corridors, once filled with laughter, now echo with silence as her father, King Maxon, barely leaves the hospital wing. Suddenly thrust into the role of regent, Edelyn must navigate complex royal responsibilities while continuing her selection process with six remaining suitors. I have my mother in critical condition, my twin on another continent, my father barely holding together, my younger brothers needing comfort, a country to run, and six suitors waiting for my decision, she reminds her advisors when Sir Codley attempts to capitalize on her inexperience by pushing for war with France. In a decisive moment that marks her first true act as a leader, she fires him on the spot. Haven't we all faced moments when crisis forces us to step up before we feel ready? Through her struggles, Edelyn learns that true strength often emerges not despite our vulnerabilities, but because of them. When circumstances demand more than we believe we can give, we sometimes discover capacities within ourselves we never knew existed. Recognizing her need for loyal support, Edelyn assembles her inner circle thoughtfully. She promotes her maid Nina to lady-in-waiting, noting, "You're too clever to spend your days folding laundry," demonstrating her ability to see beyond social hierarchies. Her support network expands strategically. General Lager connects her to her parents' wisdom, Lady Breese provides political insight, and her brothers offer both responsibility and comfort. When her siblings feel guilt over their mother's condition, Edelyn shows emotional maturity by reassuring them while managing her own fears. Her connection with Hansri's translator, Eric, proves especially meaningful, developing through late-night library conversations. Eric challenges her with refreshing directness, offering authentic conversation without agenda. Through this trusted circle, Edelyn learns perhaps her most valuable lesson. True leadership isn't about maintaining perfect control, but knowing when to let others in. Edelyn quickly discovers that ruling isn't just about making good decisions, it's about perception. Reading scathing newspaper coverage, she realizes, "At the first sign of failure, their hatred would slam into me without mercy." The protective bubble her father had created now bursts under direct scrutiny. When Maryd Illay, descendant of the previous royal family, sends an elaborate flower arrangement offering support, General Lager immediately recognizes this as a political chess move. Maryd suggests hosting a town hall with citizens across the social spectrum. The event quickly descends into chaos. Factory workers describe impossible conditions, former twos complain about lost privileges, and merchants protest unstable markets. One participant demands, "What do you know about struggling? Have you ever gone hungry or worked 16-hour days just to keep a roof over your head?" When Marie defends Edelyn with perfectly timed interventions, she initially feels grateful. However, his seemingly altruistic defense undermines her authority while positioning him as a voice of reason, a calculated strategy to exploit public discontent. The selection process takes unexpected turns as Edelyn discovers genuine connections, challenging her preconceptions. Her childhood antagonism with Kyle Woodwork transforms into something profound. "I pulled away, admitting with frustration that I couldn't kiss him casually anymore because he'd become important to me," she confesses. Kyle's architectural sketches become love letters of their shared future. When Hale admits he can't marry Edelyn because he has feelings for Ian, she offers, "If they stayed until after my coronation and let me dismiss them separately, they could leave without repercussions." Most surprising is her connection with Eric, Henry's translator. Their relationship develops through late-night kitchen encounters and candid conversations. "I recalled the moment I first fell for you during the parade when you acknowledged me despite being busy," he confesses. Their shared love of languages becomes a metaphor for their connection. Through these experiences, Edelyn learns that love isn't something to be selected rationally. It happens in its own way and time. When her parents propose that Edelyn become queen immediately, her father places his signet ring on her finger with tears of pride, marking the beginning of her reign. At her coronation, Edlin feels a thrill knowing those words were meant for me. Yet this triumph quickly sours when Merid reveals his true colors, threatening to force her into marriage or destroy her reputation. I'd been played, she realizes. This crisis forces Edlin to accelerate her selection, planning to announce an engagement within 2 weeks between Kyle or Henry, neither the man she truly loves. Duty seems poised to crush her personal happiness as she prepares to sacrifice her feelings for Eric to protect her country. I couldn't abandon my people to Merid, she tells Eric during their tearful goodbye. His response, it's a privilege to come second to your people. Their farewell, exchanging family heirlooms, exemplifies the personal cost of royal responsibility. As Edlin prepares to announce her engagement to Henry, he confronts her about her feelings for Eric. Noting their connection, Henry removes her ring with gentle determination, expressing love while acknowledging the chemistry between Edlin and Eric. His selflessness forces her to choose between heart and duty. In this crisis, her father reveals family secrets that reshape her understanding of their dynasty. He shares how their family repeatedly chose love over convention, showing scars from his father's beatings. Most shocking is his revelation about Lady Bryce, actually his illegitimate half-sister, whom he's protected for 20 years despite laws demanding her execution. Break the stupid rule, Edlin, he urges. Tradition without compassion is nothing but chains. With newfound courage, Edlin proposes to Eric on television while announcing Ilya's transition to a constitutional monarchy. I love my people too much to govern alone. Their lives should be in their own hands. This transforms her personal choice into an act of liberation for her country. It's a curious experience being the product of a fairy tale romance while hoping to find one yourself. You think you know how love should unfold from stories and movies, but the truth is that love is equal parts fate and planning, beauty and disaster. This sentiment guides Edlin as she challenges traditional notions of predestined romance. Edlin discovers love's many forms through various relationships. Her parents' steadfast partnership built on years of growth, Hale and Ian's relationship transcending societal expectations, and her mother's enduring friendships demonstrating platonic love. Her unexpected connection with Eric, her translator, subverts fairy tale conventions. She's drawn to his quiet wisdom and genuine support rather than her selected suitors. Eric challenges her perspectives while respecting her authority. The book suggests happily ever after isn't a static achievement, but a dynamic journey requiring continuous effort, vulnerability, and compromise. Through Edlin's transformation, we learn our most meaningful legacy comes from living authentically and loving generously.